you're visiting with us today, we are thrilled that you are here. I hope that you are feel welcome here. People have been friendly with you. We hope that that is taking place. 6,570 days. I don't know if you've heard that number before, but that is approximately the number of days that we have to pour into a child's life before they turn 18. Now, as I was kind of doing the quick math this past week, I realized that we're at about 4,900 days with our oldest son. And that scared me. I mean, I thought, wow, we've got about, 1,700 days left. A bit of a reality check for me. And many of you have had children come into your home and on their way out, and you're thinking, yeah, you just wait, that sort of a thing. But I remember a lot of things from the kids growing up, of course. I mean, I remember our son, one day he's riding the scooter around the courtyard at our home in Mexico, and the next day he's on a bicycle, and I'm not kidding, he literally was, and no training wheels or anything. I don't know how he figured it out, but kids, they learn things very quickly. Or how, we had all these VHS tapes. Anybody still got a few VHS tapes in your home? Yeah? Some of you are like, get those out of here. We had probably, 50 or 60 of them in our home at one point, and he would drag all those out of the cabinet and use them to build all kinds of towers and different things. Good use of, we recycle things, right? So, anyway, but some of you realize that 65, 70 days, it goes very quickly. I'm a dad of three. Our two daughters are probably in class at this point, but Jacob is around somewhere as well. It's just amazing. Today, our son, yesterday he's this little guy, and today he got himself up before 7 o'clock, and he was over here at the church ready to help and serve and get things set up. I know that some of you this morning are maybe not parents. And it's not my intention to leave you out today. I believe that anytime we open up God's Word and we talk about God's Word, there's something to be learned by all of us. So even if you're not a parent here this morning, I hope that you'll still find something useful. I also know that when we talk about parenting, it can be a bit of a painful subject for some. The reason I say this is I'm not sure how accurate it is, but I read somewhere that 1 out of 7 pregnancies ends in a miscarriage. Now, if that is even close to being true, it's a fact, there is perhaps some pain in the room today. It is not my intention to pile on the pain. I do want you to know I've been praying about this topic and praying for you. Even if we're not parents, most of us have some interaction with children, right? Maybe you serve in the children's ministry here. Maybe you work with the youth. Maybe you're a teacher. Maybe you're a coach. Maybe the neighbor's kids won't stay off your lawn. Whatever it is, most of us have some interaction with kids. And I want you to know God wants to use you. God wants to use you to pour in the life of a child. Or perhaps for you, God wants to use you to help a struggling parent. Because there are some struggling parents in the world, right? Anybody know some struggling parents, perhaps? You know who they are? Just like our man series, there's no pointing allowed. But I think most of us probably know someone who could use some help who are struggling with raising their kids. It's never been easy. Now, it used to be that we at least had some role models that were elevated in society that we could kind of take a look at and say, hey, they're doing a good job, or at least some good wholesome values were set for us on television, right? I mean, maybe for you, you remember The Waltons, right? Back in the day, the show The Waltons. Maybe for you, you remember Little House on the Prairie. Some of you are like, who are those people? Yeah, well, check out Netflix or something. They're on there somewhere. Or maybe for you, it was The Andy Griffith Show. Some good wholesome values. I mean, they didn't do everything right, but at least they tried. At least they did many things right. And then modern day today, we have, other examples set for us. and I was going to take, several and go down the negative direction. I thought, no, I'm just going to stop right there. There are plenty of poor examples for us of how not to parent. But we can look at the examples that have been put before us and look at our society, and honestly, we're in a little bit of trouble sometimes. I mean, if you look at parenting around the world today, parents oftentimes struggle. We get a messed up idea of what parenting is about and priorities and how to raise your kids or what to do, what not to do, and sometimes we just say, well, what is wrong with children today? What is wrong with those kids today? I mean, maybe you've thought that. Anybody ever thought that? What is wrong with kids today? I think a more appropriate question might be, what is wrong with parents today, right? Because parents have everything to do with the child that we're thinking, what is going on with children today? I was in a store some time back, And as I was walking down the aisle, I was trying to get in and out, and I heard kind of some arguing going on between a parent and a child. And I don't know how old the child was at that point, but I kind of made my way around the aisle, and unfortunately, what I needed was in that aisle. So I'm making my way down. I'm getting closer and closer, and eventually, we make eye contact, you know, the mom and I do. And she kind of, I don't know what she was thinking, but she looks at her child, and she says, "If you don't straighten up, that man's going to get you." I'm just here for Pop-Tarts. I mean, come on. I don't know. I mean, this mom didn't really have a clue in that moment. Now, I don't know her. She doesn't know me unless she happens to be a visitor here today. And if that's the case, you need to be here. We all need to be here. But a lot of parents don't have a clue. But hopefully this morning we'll get a clue. We're going to get some clues as we take our cues from God's Word this morning. I'm not going to get into this today or next week. Next week is Mother's Day. Again, ladies, I want to invite you back next week. We have a gift for you, a surprise for you. If you absolutely cannot make it, we may save a few for you. But be here next week if you can, Mother's Day. So we won't cover this topic then, but we may cover discipline at a future time or in a parenting class. Just a plug here. Been teaching a marriage class on and off and on Wednesday nights, and I'm right now teaching a finance class, and then we'll rotate into that a parenting class, and then some sort of a leadership class at one point. So keep your eyes on information in our bulletin and the program as we're offering those. I think they'll be great resources for you. But here's the thing, I'm going to touch on this quickly and then move on. If you love your kids, you will discipline them. If you don't love your kids, you won't discipline them. Or if you love yourself more, or if you love your relationship with your kids more than you love your child, you won't discipline them. But we'll talk about that at another time. Some of you are at the end of your rope. You don't know what to do. Hopefully at some point we can give you some hope in that situation. This morning, starting things out, I want to lay the foundation with this first point, and that is this. Your home's foundation must be God. Your home's foundation must be God. If you want to be a good parent, your home's foundation must be God. And obviously, you're in church this morning. You're sharp folks. I know you're thinking, well, he's a preacher. Sooner or later, he was going to say that. Let's wait until the good stuff comes. This is the good stuff, okay? Yeah, I got some practical stuff as well, but this is the good stuff. Your home's foundation must be God. In fact, the Bible says this in Psalm 127, 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. They labor in vain. Truth be told, you can read all kinds of parenting books. You can go to seminars. You can watch reruns of Nanny 911. You can love your kids more than life itself, or at least think that's what you are doing. But if your home is not resting on the solid foundation of God and His Word and your faith in who God is, you are placing your child's future at a very great risk. Let me explain that. You can control a lot of things about your kids while they're in your home, right? You can control a lot of things about their life when they're little and as they're growing up. But I don't know if you've recognized this or not, but as your kids live in your home, maybe they start out spending 100% of the time with you. And then eventually that kind of becomes 75% of the time, and then 50% of the time. And eventually they spend almost 0% of their time with you, and yet they're still living in your home. And what are they going to do about their decisions at that point? What are they going to do about decisions when they leave? How are they going to behave? What kind of foundation will you have laid in their life? Now, I'm not saying that you have to have, you know, a two-hour devotion in your home every day, or that you beat your child over the head with the Bible. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that as a parent, you need to help them understand what a godly, God-led, humble individual looks like, what a spirit-led person looks like, what a follower of Jesus Christ looks like on a daily basis. You may have heard this before, but we teach what we know, but we reproduce what we are. We teach what we know, we reproduce what we are. And if God is not in your thinking, if God is not part of your decision-making, you're fooling yourself if you think that the child you're raising is going to live life any differently. In fact, if you live life acting like, talking like the rest of the world throughout the week, and then you show up here for church on Sunday for an hour, faking it, that's not going to fly. It's not going to work. You can fool us. You can fool me, but you won't fool God. You won't fool your children. Believe me, they can see a fake a mile away. What you're doing is you're telling your child, well, church is not all that important. I mean, we're going to go and we're going to, you know, but church is not all that important. You can fake it and do church. That's what you're telling your children. And through that, they're going to interpret, well, God must not be real, because if it were that big of a deal, then God would be part of the rest of our lives as well. And so because God isn't part of the rest of our lives, it becomes a priority. And eventually, when they grow up, your child is going to say, hey, this wasn't really worth my time growing up. I'm not going to waste my time with it now that I'm adult. And they're going to head a different direction. Now, let me speak to the men for just a moment. I know if you've been here the last 4 weeks, I've been talking to you with this Man Up series. And I talked about this concept there, but I want to touch on this again, because sometimes men think that raising kids is the woman's job. Oh, she's got this, you know, she's got it taken care of. Well, Warren Mueller says this, and again, I've shared this concept before. This is from a slightly different angle. A study found that if mom and dad attend church together, 72% of the time their children will attend once they become adults and they're on their own, once they have that choice to make. 72% of the time. If only mom goes and takes the kids to church, 15% of the time will the children continue in church into adulthood. So 72% down to 15% if only mom goes. If somebody else, like a family friend or a neighbor or somebody else in the family, if they take the kids to church, 6% of the time will those children continue in church after they're adults. Here's the catch. If only dad takes the kids to church, mom doesn't even go whatsoever, 55% of the time, the children will continue to go. So again, mom and dad together, 72% of the time. Sorry, ladies, but if a woman only mom, 15% of the time. If only dad goes, 55% of the time. Research has shown this. You can see how big of a spiritual impact a father can have on the direction of a family. Now, if you're one of those guys who says, you know, I don't really have to worry about it, my wife's got all that taken care of, then thank God that your wife is willing to do something that you weren't man enough to do. But if you really care about your children, if you really care about their future and your children's children, you will get your hiney up off the sofa or out of bed and be a leader in your family and take your kids to church. Some of you are thinking, I can't believe he just said that. You know, Jesus says some more harsh words to say. He talks about, you know, if you mess with kids, if you mess up kids, it's better that a millstone be hung around your neck and you be thrown into the depths of the sea. And I just said, get up and get out of bed and get to church. And you're thinking, Jesus is a little more serious on this. I know you love your kids. At least I think so. I know that you love your grandchildren. I believe you do. But you got to take the lead. You have to be the example. Your kids can tell, again, from 10 miles away if you're faking it. So set the example. Build your home. Build the foundation of your home on God, on your faith in God, if you want to be a good parent. Here's number two this morning. Your most important human relationship must be your spouse. It must be your spouse. And I know this morning I'm speaking to some single parents, and just hang with me here. Some of you are in the room and have been through a divorce or a difficult situation. You have joint custody and somebody's not being fair in that. I understand that. We will talk about that at another topic, okay? Just please be encouraged. God will still use you to make a huge difference in your children's life if you're willing to stick to His Word. But here, this morning, if you are married, your relationship, the most important human relationship you should have is with your spouse. It's got to be above your kids. I don't know if you know this or not, but your kids are leaving the moment they get a better deal. Some of you are like, yep, they did. But your kids are leaving. Some of you are thinking, well, how can I work that? You know? Your kids are leaving the moment they get a better deal. They're leaving. So your most important relationship as far as humanly goes is with your spouse. If your kids are above your relationship with your kids or how you treat them is above that of your spouse, your house is upside down. You are endangering your marriage. You're endangering your children's marriage someday. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, if you put your kids before and above your spouse, then you are raising a spoiled brat who thinks the world revolves all around them. And so they're going to take that understanding, that belief, into marriage. And what's going to happen is they're going to be married someday, and one day they're going to wake up and their spouse is going to say, the world does not revolve around you. And that's going to break their heart. And they're going to be all confused and torn up and make some poor decisions, perhaps. And so we need to understand, we need to teach our kids the world revolves around God. We need to set an example for them about caring for other people, putting our spouse before our kids. We need to elevate our marriage. Do you know the Bible talks a lot more about marriage than it does about parenting? I mean, why do you think that is? I think just simple math, one explanation is because if your marriage is right, if your marriage is healthy, then you will parent better together. You'll work well better together. You'll prioritize each other, and your parenting will be a joint effort, a team effort, a team sport, and your kids will grow up understanding, you know, who mom and dad are, and they'll have more security in that, and maybe even someday when you're old, they'll give you money or do something favorably. I don't know. I'm hoping. Ephesians 6 says this, honor your father and mother. It doesn't say honor your children. It says honor your father and mother. God is very specific about the organizational chart of the home. God is very specific about where mom and dad are to be to run the house. Children don't run the house. Mom and dad are in charge. That's how it's supposed to work. God saw this important enough that he put this in his top 10. You know the 10. The ones he chiseled into stone, the Ten Commandments, right? When mom and dad prioritize each other and the kids are beneath, that helps. It keeps things in balance. It keeps things right. Well, here's a real-life example. I came across this, thought it was very interesting. There was a particular case where a young child was having difficulty sleeping at night. Weren't sleeping through the night. And they went to see a counselor after trying a lot of different things, talked to them about the situation, and the counselor said, I want you to try this. I want you to have a 50. And so they did, and here's the catch. It wasn't a 15-minute conversation and the child. It was a 15-minute conversation between mom and dad. So mom and dad are there at the, you know, on the couch or in the kitchen at the table or whatnot, and they're having a conversation, an adult conversation, talking about life, budget, whatever it is, and there's the child, you know, they're on the floor, and I don't know, the, you know, youngster, middle schooler, whatever, they're there doing their thing, but what they're seeing, what they're hearing the whole time is mom and dad are one. Mom and dad are together. Mom and dad are a united effort. Mom and dad, there's no cracks in the parental armor that they can tear down. There's no way to get in between, and that, of course, creates stable children. Children grow up in that environment knowing mom and dad are healthy, mom and dad are good, mom and dad are safe and secure, and that does something for the kids in a very good, very real way. We'll cover more about this down the road, but just something quick on parenting. If your spouse has put your child in timeout or taken something away from them or disciplined them or something, and you swoop in and you remove them from that situation, guilty, without talking to your spouse first, that is not a good thing. What you're doing is you're teaching your kids about how, you know, well, you can come to one of us or the other one, and you know which one if you want to get what you want. You're raising your children to be manipulative and not understand consequences. I mean, if you are so desperate for your kids or for kids to like you, then, you know, put on a red nose and go to a party and perform there. But if you're a parent, be an adult. Stop clowning around. Be an adult. It's real easy to make a kid think that you're cool by giving in to them and into everything that they want or doing whatever they think they need. But in the long run, you are hurting your child. You're not setting them up for success. Well, what it really proves is that your relationship with them is more important than their understanding of who God is. It's more important than how much you love your kid. I have news for you. Your children don't need another buddy, perhaps. Most of them have enough buddies. They will have buddies that will come and go all throughout their life. What they need is a parent. They need someone who's going to stand up and take this seriously. That's our next point. Number three this morning, your responsibilities must be taken seriously. You know, having a kid is a big deal. It is not like having a hamster for 2 years. It is not like having a dog for 10 or 15 years. or a cat for 6 months and then it disappears. Nobody knows where it went. The neighborhood cat that took up refuge under our porch a month ago is still there for now. But it's not like that. It's a big deal. If this thing goes well, you know this. Some of you know this. Your children will one day help choose your nursing home or assisted living home, right? And so you need to take this seriously. What are the responsibilities about being a parent? Well, I want to just give you three very quick ones this morning with a very broad brush. Three general responsibilities for being a parent. Here's letter A, train. We need to show our kids how to do life. Proverbs chapter 22, 6 says this, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child in the way they should go. We tend to think of this passage in kind of a spiritual way that, we need to, build a spiritual foundation and that way our children will be part of the church and they'll never leave and that sort of a thing. And you know, there's a little bit of truth to that. However, some of you are wondering, well, wait a minute, I did that and my child is kind of off on hiatus right now, taking a long detour. I want to encourage you, if you did what you're supposed to do, that they'll be back someday. They'll be back someday. They may go the prodigal child direction, but we'll talk about that at another time. They'll be back someday. So a lot of people look at this very, very spiritual. I want to look at it a little bit different this morning, kind of from a practical stance about life, that we help our kids know how to do life. Here's the deal. You're an adult, right? You have time, you have experience on your side. Maybe some gray hair, maybe no hair. I don't know, but you have time and experience. You know how to do some things. So it's more than just having little people in your house. Those little people are going to grow up to be big people. Those are going to grow up to be adults. And if you don't train them to do that, they're going to struggle with that. I'm going to tell you something. Some of you might get worried by this, but did you know there are children that leave home and they don't know how to face life? Did you know that? I mean, maybe if some of you work with some of them, or maybe some of you have neighbors who are some of them. But when your kids leave your house, when they leave your care, they need to know how to do some things. For instance, they need to know how to wash dishes. They need to know how to load the dishwasher. You're thinking, there's kids that don't know. Yes, there are children who don't know how to load the dishwasher. They need to know how to do a load of laundry and not, get the whites and the reds mixed up and somehow come out pink. They need to know how to make some meals. They need to know how to cook for themselves. They need to know how to, peel an orange. We had a joke growing up. Mom, would you peel me an orange? Yes, Seth, I'll peel you an orange. We'd go back for Thanksgiving after Dana and I were married, years ago. Mom, would you peel me an orange? I still can't peel an orange. I'm glad that Pampered Chef made this thing here. You can kind of... It's a whole lot easier. My parents taught me a ton of things. Peeling an orange, I struggled. But we need to show them how to cook for themselves, how to do their taxes, how to make a budget, how to register to vote, how to do stuff. Real life stuff as well. Will your kids appreciate it? Were you trying to teach them something? No. Take, for instance, the DMV, right? It's time for your youngster to learn how to drive. And so you take them down to the DMV and you walk in and you take the little ticket off the thing, and you find a seat. And you sit quietly, or at least you try to sit quietly in this room full of adults, and they're texting or tweeting or Facebooking or whatever. My life is horrible. I'm sitting here at the DMV with my dad or my mom, and this just stinks. And then you fast forward 1 year. It's time for them to go renew their plates or their whatever it is, or pay their fees, and they'll know exactly where it is. They'll know exactly how long it takes to get there. They'll know the best seat in the house, if there is one, at the DMV. They'll know that they have to take cash or a check instead of a credit card, because it's 2016. Why we can't use a credit card for that, I don't know, but... Deep down in their heart, they will know, they will be grateful to you for having taught them how to do that and taken the time to show them. I'm not going to tell them this, but you didn't have to go along with them the second or third time and sit there for hours at the DMV. You train them, and you tell them, and you teach them what they need to know. Kids are not just there for us to raise and hang out with. I long for the day. I treasure every moment, but I also look forward to adult relationships with my kids. I do. I look forward to that. But right now, the here and now, my role is to parent them. They're in my home. Who's going to train them? I'd better. My wife and I had better do that. Letter B this morning. Protect. Protect. It's a responsibility as a parent to protect your children. Some years back, we were traveling, and we were on the road. We found a hotel. So when we were traveling on the road, we rarely booked in advance because we didn't know how far we would make it, you know. And when I'm on the road, I'm like, I want to get there sooner than later. And so I don't want to stop at 3 in the afternoon if we can still drive another 4 or 5 hours. So as the evening would come, we'd kind of look ahead on the road and what hotels are there and what hotels have an indoor pool. And so we went to this hotel, got checked in, and got the swimming suits on, went down to the pool, and you know, the kids were much younger then. And one of our daughters, you know, she was in the habit of, you know, jumping off the side into the pool and that sort of thing. And, you know, it was a lot of fun, but normally they would catch the edge of the pool and kind of hang on there. They'd jump in and immediately grab the edge. Well, one time that evening, one of our daughters, I won't tell you which one, jumped off the side of the pool into the, you know, in, and she missed the edge. And she doesn't know how to swim yet, and she's, you know, submerged. And I run over real quick, and I grab her and bring her up, and she's, you know, sputtering and whatnot. And the first thing she says to me is, "Dad, don't do that again." And it took me a while to understand. I mean, at first I was kind of offended. I was like, "What? I would never do that," you know. But I understood later on, she was enjoying life under Dad's protection. She was enjoying life under my watch, and I let something happen. It wasn't my fault, but I let something happen. Kids enjoy living life under the protection of their parents. I've had a number of conversations with adults and teenagers as far back as our time in Mexico as well, and some of those conversations, unfortunately, had a comment like this: "I can't believe my parents let me do that. I can't believe that my parents encouraged me to drink at the house, and now I've had trouble with it for years. I can't believe that my first experience with drugs was at a party that my parents had, and they were out of it, and, you know, the friends of theirs were there, and I tried it, and I've struggled with that for years. I can't believe that. I can't believe my parents let that into my life or allowed that to happen to me." You know, when we hear about those situations, we're like, well, what is that parent thinking? And, you know, I would never do that, or parents need to do a better job of protecting. But, you know, let's take it a slightly different direction. When our kids come to us, and they want to go places, and they want to do things with people, and we're the parent, and we know that that place or those people are not a good place or influence for them to be around, and so we say no. Unfortunately, sometimes we're too tired, or too apathetic, or too weak, or we value the buddy-buddy relationship too much to say no, and our kids go, and life gets messed up. I am not perfect by any means, but I sure hope that when it comes time to making that decision, I will rather err on the side of my child being mad at me for saying no than for me to say yes, and then their life get all messed up. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, here's the millstone text: "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world for temptations to sin." Your kids are going to make mistakes. They are, but don't let those mistakes be because you were too weak or too tired or too apathetic to be tough and protect your children. Next responsibility, introduce. I want my kids to know people. I've already begun to do some of this in life, but as my kids get older, I will continue to introduce them to people that I know and respect. I will do that. Maybe you figured this out about life, but sometimes much of life and much of the success that comes in life is because of who you know. Much of the success that comes in life is because of who you know. Your first job, chances are that you got that job based on someone that you knew or your parents knew. My first job was mowing yards. My mom was a property manager in Coffeyville, Kansas. She worked for a gentleman named Darrell Little. He owned a lot of property in town. And so mom, I was, I don't know, 13 maybe. Mom would take me in the station wagon with the push mower and the weed ears. She'd drop me off at a property, and she'd come back about an hour later to pick me up and take me to another property. And I got that job as a very lucrative job for a 13-year-old boy. I got that job based on who my mom knew. Other jobs that came through the years were based on connections that were made. More than likely, that's oftentimes how life works. And so most of the success, or some of it, comes in life based on who you know. So yeah, I introduce my kids to people. Now, here's an introduction that everyone needs, all of our children need. Matthew chapter 19, verse 14 says this. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." Are we doing anything in life that hinders our children from knowing God, from being close to God? A couple times through the years, I've heard parents say, you know, they've grounded their children from church. Not allowed to come to church. Really? Well, yeah, you know, I mean, it's the only thing they really like, and so we had to get through to them, and so we grounded them from, you know, church. Whether it was youth group or children's ministry or something else, I've done a lot of dumb things. I will do a lot more dumb things in my life. I'm certain of it. But one thing I hope I never do is come between my child and God. Never, ever. Take away their phone. Take away their car. Take away, you know, whatever. Send them to Siberia for summer camp. I don't care what you do. But trust me here, you do not want to come between your child and God. God is the only one, the ultimate one, who will make the difference in their life. His Spirit working in their life is what's going to make a difference. That's going to make the life change in them. Don't keep them from that. Ephesians 6, verse 4 says this. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. My kids are pretty sharp. I'm confident it is only a matter of time before someone in my household attempts to use this verse against me. They're smart. Dad, you're not supposed to make me mad. Dad, you're not supposed to get mad at me. That's not what it says, you know. But it says, you know, do not provoke your children to anger. The King James Version says, don't exasperate your children under wrath. And the reason I want to include that today is this. There might come a time when you are training your child, or you are protecting your child, or you are introducing your child, or disciplining, or making decisions to protect them. When you are parenting them, and it may start to overload them just a little bit. I'm not saying to back off, but I am saying it is incredibly important that everything we do be done in love, that everything we do be done with their best interests at heart. Not that you do everything they want to do, but that you as the parent do everything with their best interests in mind, and that we do it in love. We want the best for our kids. We want to see them succeed in life, right? We do, and that's why we watch over them. That's why we protect them. God put us in charge for a reason. 3 John chapter 1, verse 4, or as Donald Trump would say, 3 John 1, 4, says this. If you didn't see that interview, by the way, another time, another place. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. No greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. He's talking about other Christians there. I'm taking it out of context, but I'm going to do that today. I rarely do that, but I'm telling you I'm doing that, so that makes it okay. How many of you as parents would love to hear that about your children someday? Right? Nothing would bring me greater joy than to know that my children are living in the truth. Here's the takeaway today. 6,570 days. If you still have kids at home, those days they're ticking away. If you have children who have children, those days are not getting any longer. They're ticking away. If you know people who have children, those days are going by. Where do you need to improve? Maybe as a parent, how do you need to do a better job parenting? Maybe as a friend of someone, maybe as a grandparent, how can you do a better job in your part of raising kids that 6,570 days approximately that they're in the home? How can you do a better job? Maybe your kids are young right now. Fast forward 20, 30 years. You're at the park. Some up comes a friend of yours and, hey, I ran into your family the other day, you know, your kids at the game, and you just did a great job. Man, you did a good job. You and your wife, or you and your husband, you did a good job. I just wanted you to know that. What would that do for your heart? Some of you, that day has already come. Some of you, that day is coming. We've got to put our hope in the Lord. We've got to listen to His principles. We have to live by His word and do what He wants us to do. Let's stand up this morning. I said a few moments ago that much of success in life comes by who you know. You know, there's one thing, I don't know if you know this, but whether or not you get into heaven is based on who you know. And that who that you need to know is Jesus Christ. If you don't yet have a relationship with Him, why not make today that day? Why not make that decision this morning as we gather together? Maybe for you, you need prayer to be a better parent for your kids or for an ex of yours who's not playing fair. Or maybe for your grandkids or a family in your neighborhood or someone in our church. If you'd like to pray this morning, we'd invite you to come forward. Let's pray together before we sing. Father in heaven, we do thank you for today. We thank you for your word. Father, we ask that you would guide us as we leave this place today to be better parents, to be better friends of parents, to take this seriously. Father, you have given us pretty clear instructions. Help us to understand it. Help us to apply it to our lives. We believe that you have called us to do so, but help us to leave the results to you. We love you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing together.